Good morning again. The text that is scheduled for this Sunday has to deal with shepherds. While I haven't really been around sheep very much, little bit when I was a kid, there was a fellow that I hung out with that his dad had sheep, and if there was a way to get out, they'd figure it out, kind of like a goat, I guess. But I was more around dairy, and I found it, as I was thinking about that, I found it that they were very similar. I remember on my uncle's farm that when it came time to bring the cows in, it was a small farm, they didn't have that many cows, but he would just go to the back door and start calling. And all it took was just one cow. And that one cow would start making their way up to the barn, and the others would follow. But they came because they recognized the voice, in this case, my uncle's voice, and they knew that it was time to come in and go about the business of milking and so on. And that's not unlike our text today. That's not unlike it at all. Because the animals knew the voice of the person who took care of them. The animals knew that when they heard that voice, it was time to go in. And it was time to get fed and get grained and get milked or whatever, you know, whatever happened in the dairy farm, that's what was done. And then they were kept in at night and then let out in the morning. But they trusted the one that was calling. They trusted the voice of the one that was calling them in. What little bit of experience I have had with sheep, I've noticed that while you go into the pasture where they're grazing, if you start walking in among them, they scatter, you know, they'll move out of the way. But in most cases, they're not really in any particular hurry. But if something comes along that is a danger, if something comes along that they can recognize as not familiar, they will scatter in a hurry. They will move and they're gone. And boy, it's just an awful job getting them gathered up again, but that's a whole nother story. But the point is that they hear and know the master's voice. And that's what our text involves in today. Recognizing the voice of the master and hearing what he has to say to us. So I'd like to read from the 10th chapter of the Gospel of John, and beginning with verse 11 and reading down through verse 18. It's John chapter 10, and beginning with the 11th verse, and reading the words in Jesus' name. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling, and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them, and scatters the sheep. The hireling fleeth, because he is a hireling, and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knows me, even so I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore does my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it up again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. Amen. Heavenly Father, we pray this morning that, Lord, that you would speak to us. That, Father, that we might be able to see and to recognize that great love that you have for us. That our shepherd, who we love and adore, that, Father, that we would continue to worship him in the glory that he so deserves. Lord, we know these words are true because you are truth. In Jesus' name, amen. That verse 11, I was reminded or started thinking about David in the Old Testament. And he fought off a lion to protect the sheep. And he had various other comings and various other run-ins with different animals. And he never left. He never left his sheep. His job was to protect them. His job was to take care of them. His job was to keep them safe. And he did. He did it. And the whole time praying to God and trusting. And I don't know if I could even, I can't even emphasize it enough. And I'm doing this for myself. To trust in what Christ is doing, has done, and will continue to do for us. Trust in that. Don't go wandering off with your own mind thinking, well, I think I need to do this, I think I need to do that. This is probably the best way for me to go. No, just drop it. And let Jesus take care of it. Let him take care of it for you. Trust in him. Have that faith that he knows best. And he knows what needs to be done. And he's not guessing. He's not guessing at all. He's not thinking, well, I'm not sure what's going to happen over here with this situation, but we'll go from here and then we'll find. No, he knows just exactly what's going on with every single situation. And as Scripture tells us, that the Holy Spirit repeats what the Father and the Son tell it. And that Holy Spirit will continue to tell us. But we need to trust. We need to trust in what God has done and is doing for us. We may not understand it. In fact, I can't even say we don't. We may not. I flat don't understand it a lot of times. And yet, when I find myself giving it over to God, things become easier. Things become just easier. I don't have to be worried. I don't have to be concerned. I don't have to wear myself out. I don't have to get tense. I don't have to just look at something and be concerned, because I know that my Father knows exactly what to do. Even as he knew what to do before I was born, he knows what to do today. So Christ is the Good Shepherd, and Christ does and did give his life for the sheep. And he did that on that cross of Calvary. He did that because he knew we couldn't do it ourselves. I read a little thing the other day, and at first it sounded rather frivolous. Kind of a joke type thing. But it went on and on, and it had to do with the thief on the cross, who Jesus had told, "Today you shall be with me in paradise." And it was as though the thief was having a conversation with somebody, and that somebody was asking, "Well, how are you, you know, why are you here, and how do you think you can come in?" And it just carried on and on for a little ways. And as I said, the more I read, the more I thought, nah, I'm not so sure I like this. But then I got down to the last line. And he was asked, "How do you know that you can come in here?" And he looked at him. And he says, "Because that man that was on the center cross told me I could." Boy, that hit a spot. Honestly, my eyes welled up, but that's what Jesus does. He tells us we can. because we believe. He tells us that we are invited. He tells us that he told that thief on that cross, "Today you shall be with me in paradise." And we can take that as a certainty, because Jesus is truth. Because he is the Father's Son, and he did according to what the Father wanted him to do. And the text goes on and he says, "But he that is a hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf catches them and scatters the sheep. And a hireling flees because he is a hireling and cares not for the sheep." If you get a chance, go to the book of Ezekiel in the 34th chapter. And I believe it's the first 10 verses, if I'm not mistaken, but you'll see it. God didn't mince any words at all when he was talking to those who were the leaders of Israel, or who were the Jewish leaders. He didn't play around, but he flat out told him what he thought of them. He flat out told him what they were doing was wrong. And this is what Jesus is telling him also. Because though the hireling that he is referring to are the people who are supposed to be teaching and rearing up the children of God and teaching them in the way that they should go. And they did a poor job of it. And you think about this for a moment, that how far back was the book of Ezekiel written compared to what was written here? Same thing was going on. It didn't change. Those who were supposed to be the rulers or the leaders, those who were supposed to be and give the instruction and tell the people how they are supposed to do things, they were no different. There was a lot of self-interest going on at the time. There's a lot of self-interest going on today in various places. And that's why he compares them to a hireling, someone who is hired to do something, but their interests are more for self-interest. They're more concerned about themselves rather than making sure that those that who they are supposed to be leading are doing it properly. Another part of Scripture says that for anybody that would stand in this place, don't do it for money. Don't do it because you want to just use that to make a living, but do it because you enjoy it. Do it because you want to reveal God's word to each and every one, with a prayer, a constant prayer, that whatever is said would be the right thing. That's a scary place to be. That's a scary place to be, standing here talking, knowing that every word that I'm saying right at this point is written down. It is recorded. And it needs to be spoken properly. And it needs to be spoken truthfully. Not according to my opinion, not according to what I think it ought to be, but according to what God desires. And that's what needs to be done. So the hireling flees, and he cares not for the sheep. What would have happened had David turned and run away from that lion? What would happen if David had turned and run away from Goliath? What would have happened had David not done, or had David not trusted in God? It's kind of scary to think about, but the point is that that's not what happened. The point is, David did trust. The point is that God did love him. Even when David was running through the hills and hiding in caves and trying to get away from Saul, not once did he try to do harm to Saul, even when he had the opportunity. because he trusted in God and knew that God was going to take care of him and work things out, even though it took a while. And that's the same message that we need today. It may take a while. I was reminded this last week, I was looking, you know, and it's a constant source of information that we receive, whether it be through social media or news or paper, whatever it happens to be. And I started thinking about it in a different vein. We point fingers at governments, we point fingers at people in power or politicians or whatever, whoever. Who was it that crucified Christ? Who was in charge of the secular government? Now, yes, it's true. Pilate said, well, I'm washing my hands of this whole thing and, you know, I'm not going to be a part of it. But yet he had the power to let him go. Who was it that called out, crucify him? It was the people that were in power in the religious organization. Who was it that crucified our Savior? Who was it that put Daniel in the lion's den because of a lie? The point I'm trying to make is that we look at these things and we can draw all kinds of conclusions as to why things are the way they are. But let's draw this conclusion, that it's God's plan. And he's using it for himself. He's using it to further his kingdom. We don't understand that. We can't see it. But rather than trying to dwell on it, or maybe make comments about it, maybe start thinking of it in such a way that, Lord, I have no idea what you're doing, but I am going to trust in you. I am going to trust that you're going to take care of this, regardless of the outcome at this particular moment, because what my focus is on that heavenly home. And it doesn't matter at all what man would do today or tomorrow or next week or next year. What matters is that when I'm gone, I know where my home is going to be. I know where I'm going. I heard a thing the other night, actually last night, and I'm sure most of you or most of us have heard of the Make-A-Wish Foundation. And the fellow who happens to be the head guy here in the state of Arizona related a story. 14-year-old girl who was going to die. She had cancer that could not be fixed. It could not be cured. And her wish was go to the Vatican and have the last rites given by the Pope. Now, I'm not advocating anything. But when asked why, she said that, I know where I'm going. I know where my end result is going to be. But I want my parents to have comfort. I want my parents to be able to know and understand that God's still there. You see, God works in the hearts of even the little kids. We don't understand a lot of that stuff. And you know, sometimes it's better off that if we would take on the mentality, maybe I could say, for the lack of a better term, of a young child. I know we've all had, whether it's our kids or grandkids or whatever, and they've said something that it just makes you stop and where did that come from? Because it is so profound. It's so promising. And it comes from God. Because that child believes. So he says, I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and I am known of mine. That's the thing, people. You look at the animals that you're taking care of, and how do you know one from the other? But the one that's taking care of them does. It's just little things that we look at and would never recognize, and yet they are with them all the time. And they understand, and they know which one is the one that wants to kind of constantly try to get out of the fence. And they know the one that's just kind of calm and just lays down every now and again. And they know the one that likes to go off and bully the others. They know all these things because they're with them all the time. Christ knows us the same way. He knows the one that tries to get out of the fence. He knows each one of us better than we know ourselves. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep. And my sheep know me. I know him. I know who he is. And as the Father knows me, even so I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. The same as David did. David confronted that animal, and he trusted in God. Jesus confronts Satan, and he trusts in God. I lay down my life for the sheep, and that's what he did. He laid down his life for me, for you, and for all who would believe in him. And then he goes on and he says, and other sheep I have which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. He's talking about us. He's talking about every one of us. He's speaking right now in this particular text. He's speaking to the Jewish people. He's speaking to his disciples. He's telling them what's going on. Then he's also telling them that, hey, there's going to be others. There's going to be others that, and he says it this way, and other sheep I have which are not of this fold, in other words, they're not of this generation or of this lineage, and them also I must, M-U-S-T, must bring. Not going to try to, not going to maybe, you know, I'll try to sneak in there and grab a few. No. Must bring. And they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. I dare say this morning each and every one of us here heard that voice at some point in our life. And that's why we're saved, because we believe and we trust. And he goes on, he says, therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. And then he says in 18, no man takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. He lays down his life himself, because he knew that's what God wanted of him. It was his choice. He was here as a man. Jesus the man is what I call him. But he was also Jesus God. And he lay down his life for us. And he made that decision from the point of being a man, knowing that this is what God would want. He says, I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up. And then he says, this commandment have I received of my Father. It is God that has given that to him. And it is God that gives us today that same authority to do according to his will, because that is what he commands of us, to do according to what it is that we need to do and proclaim his name. In Hebrews, it's chapter 13. I'd like to read this in closing. It's chapter 13 and beginning with verse 20. Actually, verses 20 and 21. It's a beautiful benediction. And the writer says, "Now the God of peace, that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, or our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen and amen." Father, we thank you that you have been here this morning. And Father, we pray as we leave from here, we pray, God, that we would look to you, that we would have a joyful heart, that we would have a joyful understanding, that knowing that it doesn't matter what's going on around us, that is not important. What is important is that we continue to look to your face, that we continue to look to you, and we continue to ask you and trust in you. Trust in the fact that you know exactly what's going on. Trust in the fact that you know what the end reward will be for all of us, whether believers or unbelievers. But Father, we trust in the fact that we do believe, and we know, and you know, that our end result will be with you forever in glory. So Father, we thank you for that. Now we ask that you would bless us and keep us, that you would make your face to shine upon us and be gracious unto us, that you would lift up your countenance upon us and give us peace. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.